Namaskar. Hello and welcome to P Guru's channel. I'm your host, Sri Iyer. Today, we are going to talk about the new missile that is garnering a lot of attention, the BrahMos. I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right. And to set me straight and to talk about it, let's welcome Lieutenant General Ravi Shankar. General Ravi Shankar, Namaskaram and welcome to P Guru's channel, sir.
Namaskaram and thanks a lot for calling me over. It's always a pleasure to talk about BrahMos.
Ravi Shankar, you know, our audience is very appreciative of your thoughts, and I think you can start from how this thing came to be named that. What was the intent of designing this? Why is it that many countries are expressing interest? I think these are the first set of questions I have for you, sir.
That's a fair one.
Take it from there. Yeah.
See, it was a joint venture, which we started. Early 2000, somewhere around that time, between Russia and India to produce a cruise missile, right? And the idea was to produce a supersonic cruise missile. When you come to the naming, this was named after Brahmaputra, BR Brahm, Mos is Moskova. So it's the confluence of Brahmaputra and Moskova. In fact, if you go into their building, you'll see pictures of this. So that's how it was made. And at that point of time, we realized that we had certain strengths in building missiles. The Russians had certain strengths in building missiles, and we built this. Till then, the cruise missiles generally meant that they were at subsonic speed. The Tomahawk, for example, that was the most famous cruise missile. It was a subsonic missile, largely ship launched. And this year, we had a supersonic missile. Right now, supersonic missiles are very fast and very difficult to catch. That's why we went in for the supersonic stuff, and it's given us good payoffs. When you say supersonic, you have to understand normally when supersonic is anything above 1 Mach, this is 3 Mach plus, it goes to about 3 Mach max. Now, you would have heard about hypersonic missiles.
Yes.
They are 5 to 7 Mach. We're just short of that. So technologically, we are within the hypersonic system is within reach of India. And we've developed this missile. The problem with hypersonic missiles or any fast-moving object is to control it. How do you control it? How do you make sure it comes to gets to a target properly? The great thing about BrahMos is that we've been now firing it for almost 5 to 10 years more. And we've managed to master this control and guidance bit also, apart from propulsion and all that. And as I understand from the newspaper, we've indigenized a lot of the missile. That is what the latest test is all about. And we've also been able to extend the range of the missile from initially it was only about 290 kilometers. Now it goes up to 500 kilometers. Plus, we now have an air-to-air version, or rather, I wouldn't say air-to-air version, an air-launched version, a ground-launched version, and a ship-launched version for different targets. And it can take on ships, it can take on ground targets, it can take on many things. So that's the long and short about BrahMos.
So let me ask you a more technical question, General Ravi Shankar. Let's say the target is static, say some building or something like that. Now, the way I've understood it, and this was from doing some stuff 30 plus years ago, but I don't think the basics have changed, is that the target is captured in some sort of an image. And as the missile is flying, it is comparing to see if there is a match. And the faster it flies, the faster the computer's electronics have to be so that the 100% match or whatever the threshold, 90-95% match is there very, very quickly. Otherwise, you'll overshoot the target. So, is this something that is different or is it the same thing like that?
No, this is slightly different. What you're talking of is a Tomahawk, which is a terrain contour matching kind of a system, which, you know, was fed a programmed path. And along that programmed path, it would fly and match the terrain underneath it and then home on to the target. This is not like that. You actually feed the coordinates of the target, feed waypoints, and the missile follows the waypoints in a cruise. It cruises along that. in the process of cruising and reaching that, the waypoint could be, you know, up and down and left, right. So that means you maneuver the missile in all three directions, right, and take it to the intended target. At the target, you had different modes. You also had a sensor. You have a sensor in this, which says that you're on the right target and hits it. And that's only for the terminal phase, right? So I think it's a very good system. We also have a seeker system. Every missile of this variety will have a seeker system. And depending on the mode, if you're in a, say, a ship-to-ship mode or anti-ship mode, then it will fly parallel to the sea and search the ship. You know, it all aligns itself to the target. So that's how it is.
And
it's in the mountains, it comes vertically down.
And during the path, it doesn't interact or rely on any other coordinates, like, for example, going to a satellite to pick up where it is or something like that. It knows that because it knows the starting coordinates, it can basically use, you know, sensors or things like that to know. Everything is self-controlled is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. There are layers of redundancy in this. But yeah. It is generally, it has everything. It's normally, what I've seen is it's been fail-proof.
And it's been known to fly altitudes. Has it been tested like 15,000 feet or something like that? Or
no, and that's a normal, that's a normal thing it goes. The one moment of a missile is, guided, it doesn't matter which altitude, it can take it wherever you want. Only thing is, with altitude, certain changes have to be built into the control and guidance system, but that's normal. It's not a great deal.
Yeah, I'm completely, ignorant
missile
technology. I'm sure our viewers also are trying to get educated on the fly here. And so the thing seems to be that this is planned to be some sort of a deterrent against an adversary, and we don't have to take the name. So if you think about matching, right, you know, I have this, and this can effectively counter this. Is there an equivalent in in the armory of some of our adversaries?
Okay, let me put it this way. You know, just because you have a missile and he has a missile, they don't counter each other.
Yes.
Missiles don't counter each other. Missiles counter your capability to hurt him somewhere else, right? That's how it is. And his capability to hurt you somewhere else.
See, this is because we've been fed on Ramayana and Mahabharata.
That doesn't happen. Can your missile do the designated function for you? Is the question. It does. Well, can his missile do what he is this thing? He would have designed it for that. So how can you defeat that missile or our missile? Yes, there are methods. But I can't tell you all that now. No.
Of course not. Of course
So we'll leave it at that. Right. But is it easy? Is it easy to do all that? No, it's not. That's why you're going at supersonic speed. So you're looking at 3 Mach. The moment you cross 1.5, 2 Mach, it's very difficult to catch a missile. When you're looking at 3 Mach, why is hypersonic systems, which China fired, everyone says, it's a game changer. It's a game changer because you can't catch it. Look at it logically. If a cycle or a car is crossing your path at a particular speed, you see it, you detect it, and you want to catch it. You want to catch up with them, like a cycle, like a cop and robber story. Don't you have to go faster than him?
Right.
And there's a pickup time for you to, you have to first acquire him. Where is he going? How is he going? And all that. And then you have to go faster, or you choose a different route and intercept him. I mean, it's fundamental. So if that chap is going at 60 kilometers per hour, probably you'll have to do it at about 200 kilometers per hour to reach him from the distance, right? To intercept him at the thing. That's the thing. Now just think, this fellow is going at 3 Mach, 3 times the speed of sound. Someone sees, someone detects him. That means he has to come at this BrahMos at minimum 5 to 6 Mach. Right? It's not so easy. So, I mean, the technical issues also in this. I'll let good. You have to turn the missile. Turning a missile
is right. Navigating. I mean, yeah.
The missile has to take a turn. If a missile has to take a turn, you see in cars, you take a tight turn and the car starts flying somewhere else. Same thing happens with the missile also. So I'm giving you basic equivalents which are understandable.
Of course.
Yeah. There are the technical parameters which make it very difficult to catch this missile.
Now, since it is going at supersonic speeds, so there must be a sonic boom somewhere.
All that is taken care of in the beginning only.
Okay.
The moment this fellow takes off, if you see the clip which was put out on Twitter also today, the fellow takes off straight with the booster and then turns and takes off. The ramjet takes off. Okay, the moment the ramjet takes off, he achieves that. Sonic boom and all is minor. Irrelevant.
Hmm.
That happens over your head.
I see.
So
and
this chap has to reach 500 kilometers away, so you get a long way to go.
And payloads are something that is still, you know, because payload defines the range also, isn't it? I mean, when you say it goes from 300 to 500, go ahead.
The payloads are generally fixed in this kind of missiles. You don't need a great payload for this. For the simple reason, the terminal velocity of the missile is so high and the kinetic energy which is generated is so high, 0.5 mv², right? And if we hit the target, say at 2 Mach, 3 Mach, the terminal energies are so high that it's devastating. In fact, in one test I found, you know, somewhere where we had done, we couldn't get the missile. We thought the missile had missed the target. Then we said, no, let's search again. And when we searched, we found this missile had gone deep into the sand. And it had gone so far into the sand, the top layer fell back and we couldn't figure out where it was. So, it's very fast. Yeah.
I have a slightly unrelated question, General Ravishankar, and this has to do with your knowledge of water. And I read somewhere that China has a lot of water, but at least 80% of that water is not even usable for like irrigation. Is it true?
Yeah, it's right. All their rivers, the main rivers, the Pearl River, Hangzhou, Yangtze Kiang, these are all polluted.
I see. I mean, is it like the River Nile where they say that you can't even dip your hand in it?
Yeah, it's almost like that. They're in a bad shape. That is why they're trying to divert Brahmaputra water.
But then isn't that like, see, that terrain, even if you dig tunnels, this is going to hit sub-zero temperatures very fast, isn't it? As the water goes?
It will happen.
So it will freeze the water and it will...
They probably will not use it for winters. We don't know their plan, so I'll not hazard a guess. I'm sure they also know it water freezes there.
Of course. I mean, it seems like, see, their population, 4/5 of it, is along the eastern seaboard, or maybe 200 miles inward. And what you are here is thousands of miles away.
But they're taking water. That's wrong. They'll take it through pipelines. Well, they have to do something.
Wow. It's just intriguing that this country is going to go quickly. Just thinking about all these challenges they have, I can't imagine why they want to go and, you know, try to rattle all their neighbors.
Well, that's the communist way. They want to be the best. Advertise themselves as, you know, Superman. So, all the best of them.
General Ravishankar, I think I'm kind of out of questions at this point of time. We've had a very crisp conversation thus far. I think there are a couple of questions from our readers.
Yeah, sure.
So if it's okay with you, we'll just take up
those questions. Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Nandar Karnik wants to know, is BrahMos same as P800 Onyx, just a lower range version?
I really don't know what this Onyx is all about. Let me be very honest. I'm very poor at, you know, looking at each weapon system, and I don't track of others. But if I, right, I really can't comment.
Same thing again.
I don't know what the account or bastion is. I don't like to compare.
We have defined a function that is most important, that it can travel at a certain speed.
Yeah, there is, at this point of time, there is no other cruise missile which is faster. This is the fastest in the current stable, right, of cruise missiles. And it uses ramjet technology. And it is perfect. It uses thrust vector control. And it has been in service. We have an air version, we have a naval version, and a land version. And we have adequate numbers raised, so let's be happy.
Is BrahMos a cost-effective missile system considering Chinese cheap systems with mass and numbers, like Iron Dome in Israel against Hamas's rockets?
Like I said, Iron Dome is an AD system. And Hamas rockets are baby rockets compared to BrahMos. Catching BrahMos is very difficult. I mean, it's virtually impossible at this point of time, right? I don't know whether even the S-400 is capable of getting onto BrahMos.
Actually, that question was coming up. You've already moved ahead of our questions.
Like I told you, this tap is moving at 3 Mach. 3 Mach is some speed by any distance. And you really have to see. And if you were to catch him, you have to be at 7 to 8 Mach. And you have to turn and twist. And the step is not going straight and, giving away a happy signature. He's cruising. At the moment you cruise and you go through terrain, re-enter and AO, you can't catch him also. So detecting a BrahMos itself is difficult. Right? And all you have to then detect it through space and then track it and have a great communication command system to know where it is. You still don't know where it is going. Right? And in that, you have to find out and then you launch. Within that, this fellow is already on the target. It's so fast. Within 3 to 4 minutes, he's done his trick of 400 to 500 kilometers. I mean, 3 Mach is 1,000 meters per second velocity.
Per second, right. Super fast. Yes. The next question. I don't know if you want to answer this one. I'll just ask you anyway. Suresh Gupta wants to know, what about the progress of submarine launched BrahMos missile program status? Explain its significance.
Yeah. I don't know the status. They're developing it. When they develop it, they'll come out with it. The advantage of a submarine launch is that you can launch it underneath. Okay. The moment you have the capability of launching any missile or a torpedo from a submarine underwater, not a submarine which surfaces and fires. That's not. The moment you can do that, you have a full triad capability. Right? And I understand we are trying this. I also know that there are technologies which can make this happen, right? How they're going to fit into BrahMos, it's speculation. I really don't know. Let me be very frank. I do not know the methodology they're approaching, applying or attempting. But the day we have this, our capability is different.
Next question. Mr. Lee wants to know, what percentage of Indian input contributed to BrahMos development?
See, initially, we were not very good at it. Let me be very honest. But that was in the earlier stages. We were looking at making the airframe, the propulsion. Propulsion, we were very good. After all, when we joined this program, we joined this program with the advantage of having a successful missile program. Right. And we didn't have, at that point of time, we didn't have any great knowledge about control systems at high speeds. No one had. Even they didn't have. It was developed jointly. Today, it is far better. What percentage? My guess is... we are continuing with my guess, and this is my educated guess. We are continuing with this partnership on geopolitical terms of Russia and India. If India had to produce its own missile like BrahMos by any other name, we can. that capability we have. But there's a lot of value in producing it along with Russia, because there is a geopolitical connect to this, one. Number two, you know, when you have to go and market this missile outside, like we are now marketing it with the Philippines, then you have two major countries together, right? And then both are interested in the sanctity of the missile, and a lot of things can be handled that way. So there is value. Yes, we shouldn't pull out.
Yes, indeed. And before we go to the next question, it is good that India has found a new export revenue source. I mean, that's a very good thing. Yes.
It's a major export revenue source.
Yes. Right. Next question, please.
Yeah.
Sir, what happened with drone development for Madras IIT? Rishi Kumar wants to...
We are carrying on with it. It's not as if we have left it. Let me be very honest. The COVID has hit us very badly. The COVID has hit us badly because we don't have students, we are not running classes, we are not able to do anything. Otherwise, generally, we are in talks with Bell and NAL and us to have a joint consortium to, you know, come out with a full range of drones. We're carrying on with our experimentation and, you know, designs and all that. But I won't have the confidence to say that we are on top of the show. Till such time, we actually fly a few of these. And we're not able to fly because of COVID. We don't have manpower. We don't have the facilities here.
Can it carry nuclear warhead in addition to conventional warhead? Global
theoretically, officer. Theoretically, you can carry a nuclear warhead. Theoretically. But there are protocols between Russia and India. I don't think we'll be able to fit a nuclear warhead in. If we have to, we have to get out of this program and develop one.
Mr. Lee, I think we've answered this question on the portability of BrahMos module. How best can it be deployed logistics-wise in Himalayan terrain?
There's no problem. We can deploy it anywhere we want. If we can deploy it from here to Andaman and take it by IL-76 or whatever, you know, I'm telling you something which happened. We've taken a BrahMos from here to Andaman Nicobar by IL-76, and next day we fired it. If we can do it there, we can do it in Himalayas also. How does it matter? Wherever. So, India has got tremendous capabilities on this.
Ugly Toad wants to know why US sanction won't effective on BrahMos. BrahMos is not something that US is going to sanction.
Why will we sanction? It's my missile. I'm developing jointly with Russia. USA can take a walk.
No, I think sometimes questions get carried away.
No, that's okay. That's fine. But we should also respond that way. See, USA is not my boss. My boss is the Constitution of India, the President of India, the Prime Minister of India, and the Cabinet of India, whom we have settled. Right? They are my bosses. I mean, when I say they, for me, my bosses for the armed forces. We'll go by what we have to do, how we have to do. We are a very strong country, not an issue.
I think looks like we are at the end of our questions. And General Ravishankar, very crisp. Oh, there is one more. Mandar Karnik wants to know, what is BrahMos used to hit? Ships, command structures, etc. or something else?
No, all this. Any target you can hit with BrahMos. All targets are game for BrahMos. It's up to us how you use it.
Right.
It's an arrow, you can throw it where you want. Only thing is, when you're firing it as a ship-to-ship system, the model is separate. When you're firing it in high altitude or mountains, the article is different. When you're firing it from air, the thing is different. The modifications are required for enabling the BrahMos to be launched from that particular platform and for a particular target. The versions are different. So, we can do any of these.
This is the last question. Value Pilgrim wants to know, can I ask when the DRDO would be able to test indigenous scramjet engine? I understand we are targeting 1500 BrahMos here at speeds of 7 Mach. Is that true?
Well, I will not vouch to the specifics of what he is asking. No one will tell any one of us when the scramjet is going to come or not. Right? And even if I speculate, it's not correct. But are we going in for a hypersonic system? Yes. Do we have the capability to do it? Yes. Why have we not been able to do it? We didn't think we would need it so far. Now that China has done that, we'll do it. I'll have to explain. We are already at 3 Mach with BrahMos. This is the fastest cruise missile in the world today. Right? Then believe you me, it's a very accurate system. I have fired enough of it to know it's a dead dot accurate system at max range. If that be so, our journey next step is 5 to 7 max is the next. Beyond a particular level, whether China has 7 Mach and I have 5 Mach is irrelevant. You can't catch this 5 Mach, 6, 7 Mach articles moving at that top speed. Right? You can't intercept them. It's out. What is good is that at 3 Mach, you're able to do guidance and control. The important thing in any missile system is not your ability to fly a system from place A to place B, but to... You go to B... and spray all over the countryside. No, you have to be on B and you have to hit B within a specific radius. That is the more important thing. For that, it doesn't matter whether you go reach there at 10 Mach or 20 Mach, 5 Mach or 1 Mach or half a Mach. What a 3 Mach system can do, maybe a 7 Mach system can't do. Right? And there are problems also in employing these missiles. Everyone must also understand that most of these missiles are unusable in war. They are great for deterrence. They are tools of deterrence. These are tools of power, geopolitical power. This is not to, you know, start fighting like Mahabharata. So we'll leave it at that.
General Ravishankar, this is just a curiosity question. Was that hypersonic test claimed by China true?
Well, I'll go with this. Why should I doubt what they've done? They fired. And they're telling it with full pride that I fired it at 5 or 6 Mach, I don't remember, at hypersonic speeds. And we all know that to fire hypersonic, you have to get out of into the exosphere and then use the rotation of the Earth to speed your vehicle. Okay. See, it's very simple. I mean, if a missile goes out of the atmosphere into space, he becomes stationary. The Earth is still rotating at 7 meters per second. Right? That's going fast. So this differential between the guy whom you put out into the atmosphere and the spin of the Earth gives you that speed. You don't increase the speed of that glide vehicle by any propulsion. You increase it by differential speed. And then you make him re-enter. And you make him re-enter in a manner in which he'll get additional speed. So your hypersonic system is, the fundamental system is to project a particular article into the space and use space to generate speeds. These are all very nascent technologies. It's not so easy. Okay. And so it will take time. So I will not doubt what China has done. They must have done it. After all, any nation which has a space program, which has sent satellites, which has sent shuttles into, the lunar orbit or the Mars orbit, or you attempted moon landing and, Mars landing, or an asteroid landing, right? Or if you have done any of these, you have this capability. Whether you actualize it for war and show it as a missile is a different story. They've chosen to show it, but they also said that it's gone from 30-odd kilometers away. It takes time. These things, it's not a weapon system which will get deployed tomorrow.
Well, the best compliment, I guess, came from US, which said we have some catching up to do. That means they must have evaluated it. Yeah. So And last question. Guys, don't keep trickling in questions. General is in the hope. I'm going to be done. Value Pilgrim wants to know, can we export BrahMos to Taiwan for a strategic quid pro quo on semiconductors?
See, we can do anything we want. That's the first thing. The issue is two. One is political will and the geopolitics of the whole story. We have to weigh whether is it worth giving Taiwan this capability and then inviting Chinese reactions on Taiwan and on India. All this, right? Many people with whom I've discussed, we feel, and this is my opinion also, China today is your adversary or competitor, whichever way you look at it. We've not had great relations with them in the recent past. That's also a fact. But if you go back into centuries, we are both civilizational powers. Throughout our civilization, India and China, we've never had a problem. They've grown the way they had to grow. We've grown the way we had to grow, evolved. It is only in the past 100 years, ever since these stupid communists have come, that there's some misunderstanding between these two civilizations over a border. Earlier, it was not there. So, by converting China from a competitor to an adversary into an enemy, is it worth it? You don't need a civilizational enemy. So, you have to be a little smart about it. At the same time, can we play this card? Oh, we'll give BrahMos to Taiwan and to keep China at bay. Yes, we can. So, ambiguity is important rather than being, you know, oh, I will do it. I can do it. I must do it. No, ambiguity. Strategic ambiguity is part of the game. Right. And we don't need a quid pro quo on semiconductors. And I am telling this with some degree of knowledge. Right?
Yeah, it's more in their interest to spread their risk.
It is their interest. They want to spread the risk. And the next part is we don't need the greatest, you know, 9 nanometer or 10 nanometer wafer thin semiconductors. You need second generation, third generation semiconductors are more than enough for 4G India. And if you can do 4G in India, we'll do ourselves a great good. We don't need 5G at all.
General Ravishankar, I worked on 10 nanometer and 7 nanometer. I'm telling you, it's one of the hardest things to do because it's really pushing the boundaries of physics. And I still get headache when I start thinking about some of the challenges we're facing.
See, yeah. Everything depends on what you need, what you can absorb, what you can use. Our systems are pretty archaic. And they're good, they're archaic. Then you are cyber-proof against Chinese cyber activities. They can only do that much, right? And let's grow slowly. And let's grow surely rather than trying to get the latest at the costliest and ultimately it doesn't work for you.
Yes, indeed. And I think India is surely but steadily going towards that path of self-reliance in arms and ammunition. And this is not one thing. You have so many different ways in which now war is being fought. And as always, General Ravishankar, it's a pleasure having you on our channel. Today, I was looking at the traffic. It started slow and then it just took off, just like a BrahMos. Thank you very much, sir. Namaskar.
Thank you. Namaskar. Thank you.